No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain and Keith. Wait a minute, hold on. They're not here. They're nowhere to be seen. What happened to the punctuality of these pilots? They're just not here in the studio yet. So I guess I'm flying solo, and thank God I have recruited Tom Haynes from AOPA to help me out. Tom, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Greg, I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm flying solo, and even though I haven't been cleared to do so, and Ed and Keith haven't shown up yet, you know what? I'm just going to go for it.
We'll look the other way.
Let's look the other way. Hey, I met with my cardiologist this week. She's lifted all restrictions after my open heart surgery, so I figure that means I can fly solo too. I think she has that kind of power over the FAA.
We'll grant her that. How's
yes,
that?
Let's do that. So anyway, here's the deal. In a couple weeks, you'll hear all about it because I'm sure I'll be bubbling over with new information to share with our passengers. However, I am getting ready to go to Alaska for the first time on a Alaska cruise. Now, we're going to get to some news and information for aviators here in just a bit, but we're going to divert just a little bit in the meantime because I know, Tom, you've been to that part of the world, and we've talked about it on the show. You did a big fly trip there, but I figure you could give me some guidance before I go to be more informed when I head out on this cruise ship from an aviator's perspective because that's how they get around up there. It's cruise ships or planes. Am I right?
Absolutely. Well, ships of one sort or another, maybe not just cruise ships, but certainly, Juneau is the capital, and there are essentially, for all practical purposes, no roads into Juneau. The only way in is by airplane or boat.
Okay.
And so aviation in really throughout Alaska is a way of life. The percentage of pilots in the population up there is higher than any other states. And of course, then there's the belief, at least, that there's a whole bunch of people flying in Alaska who don't even have a pilot's certificate, but let's not go there.
Well, should I be on the lookout for that? Or if I was flying up there, I'd just be aware that maybe some of the pilots don't have the best training in the world? Is that what you're inferring?
Well, I mean, or it could be that they simply don't have the paperwork to back it up.
Okay.
Maybe quite skilled pilots, they just haven't bothered to go through the FAA to get approval to fly their airplanes.
Well, they're out in the middle of nowhere.
But no,
as long as they can fly their plane, who cares? Who's watching them, I guess, right?
Maybe. Yeah, as long as they're safe about it, that's the important part.
Yeah, understood.
But there's lots of aviation opportunities. If you're doing the cruise along the coast there, I suppose, from like Seattle or Vancouver?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we're doing the last trip of the season, and we're doing a one-way north to south. So we start in, Vancouver. And we don't start in Seattle. I should know this because I got to be on the boat in like 3 days. So I don't know.
You're starting in Alaska and going south.
Yes, there you go.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
So, there's a couple of places up there where the cruise ships load, but regardless, on the way down, you'll get to see some really interesting glaciers. They'll take you back in the fjords, and you'll actually get up close to some of the glaciers, and probably in Glacier Bay.
Yeah.
And
actually, I'm supposed to, I'm flying in a helicopter to land on one of those or something. And it'll be my first helicopter ride ever.
Okay, well, you'll come back and talk on the radio like this because, you hear that whole helicopter thing going on all the time. But
yes.
Anyhow.
I'll have the sound effects going for sure. I have no doubt. But yeah.
Well, that'll be a great experience. And you'll really, they'll shut the helicopter off and, get out and walk around and just enjoy the silence and the breathtaking silence.
Okay, once I land, they'll shut the helicopter off is what you're saying.
Well, that would be the plan. Ideally, they wouldn't do that while you're flying.
Okay. I was going back to what you were saying at the beginning there about some of those pilots. I was like, wait a minute.
No, these guys are good.
Yeah, I have no doubt. Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to that. That'll be an experience I'm sure I'll be bubbling over with joy in my first helicopter ride, and not to mention the scenery. I mean, I've seen the videos, I've heard the stories from,
right.
You know, Keith has been to Alaska several times. You've been there a few times flying around,
yeah.
And just the vistas and stuff you see on TV and movie, you know, things and stuff
right.
like that from Alaska is just mind-boggling. So I'm really, really looking forward to it. But what else would I look for from an aviator standpoint? You think, I'm thinking I'm going to zone in on some of these scenic tours that they're going to be offering and how they're running them, you know, with all the passengers, you know, hopping in a plane and doing a sightseeing tour or helicopters
sure.
or whatever. I guess they have a lot of that going on.
They do. Probably every one of the stops you make along the way, at ports of call, there will be seaplane operations going on. It'll be wrapping up the season for them as it's starting to get pretty cold up there now.
Yeah.
But they'll still be flying. And, you can get on, usually De Havilland Beavers are frequently used, and they'll take you out. And we did that once, took off from, I believe it was Ketchikan, and went up, you know, past some beautiful mountains, saw some, it was a relatively warm day, and we saw some doll sheep up on the top of the mountain. They had found big patches of snow, mm-hmm. and were all sprawled on the snow trying to keep cool. And then we went diving down in the fjords, and we actually landed in one of the fjords on the water.
Wow.
And shut the airplane down, and that's another place where you just get this unbelievable silence, just like you don't get to experience pretty much anywhere else. And we get out, sat on the floats, and just hang out for a little bit. And it's a really remarkable experience, something I'll always remember, that my family was with me, and it was just a hoot, really relaxing and very enjoyable flight. The pilots are really good, very capable, and really know what they're doing, really know how to fly the seaplane. So,
well, that sounds pretty
exciting.
If you
get a chance to do that, I would encourage that. And then the opportunity to land on the glacier, as you're going to do with the helicopter, that's way
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, well, so and that one's pretty expensive, too, I got to say. Now, those seaplane trips, what do you think? Are they not quite as expensive, or they could be just as much?
Well, it'll be less than a helicopter, but, it's not, as I recall, it was, upwards of $100 a piece or something like that.
Right. Okay.
Helicopter's probably more now.
Yeah. I mean, $100, I could blow $100. If I can talk my wife into it, I just got to get her liquored up first. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, that can be useful in so many ways, but
yes.
I won't go there.
Well, we'll see where it goes. I'm not sure if I'll be talking about that when I get back or not. But if she lets me fly in an airplane, hey, why not? But yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Now, and that was actually a cruise ship trip that you did with your family. But
right.
I know, a few weeks ago, you came on the air and you had come back from doing some kind of, a small plane fly around or
right.
Into Alaska.
Yeah, that was about a year ago. We were up in Alaska and in the Copper River Basin, which is north east of Anchorage, and spent a number of days out there flying around the Copper River Basin. And spectacular scenery. There was a lot of mountains around on three sides, and the river flew down the river and landed in some of the remote airports up there, and just we flew right over a bunch of glaciers. It was quite an experience. That's going to be quite a ways off of your where you're going to be with the cruise ship, and
yeah.
Alaska is a big place.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to get to experience some of that around the glaciers that will be similar to what we saw.
Yeah. Well, I figure in the helicopter or a seaplane, for that matter, can you kind of swoop in and buzz the grizzlies? Or they don't encourage that kind of activity?
Nah, they don't encourage that sort of behavior.
Did you see any bears when you were on your trip? I don't know. Don't know.
We did not, actually, now that you mentioned it. I think I saw some deer
okay.
of one sort or another and a coyote.
And dull sheep, you said. Dull sheep.
And dull sheep, yep.
What are dull sheep? Like dull, like they're not all the way white? Or what do you mean dull, like
it's
dollhouse?
D-A-L-L.
Okay.
And it's a breed of sheep, but they're basically mountain sheep.
Okay.
But it's a particular species that are pretty common up there.
Yeah.
And we saw them actually on the trip that I did a year ago, as well as when we were on the cruise ship. Then saw tall sheep, and they're pretty fun to watch. It's amazing how they can perch themselves on the side of the hill
mm-hmm.
and scamper around and like nobody's business.
Yeah. Well, I'd kind of like to see a grizzly, that or a Sasquatch. And speaking of Sasquatch, hey, Keith just walked in. How you doing, Keith?
I'm doing very well.
About time,
Tom?
Buddy.
Hey, I'm well, Keith. Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Yeah. He showed up a little late, but he'd been listening in for the last minute or so.
Yes.
And what's your excuse this time?
Traffic.
Traffic, of course. See, that's
why. If you had a helicopter.
That's right.
That's
we need
right.
a world, or we need a Just Plane Radio helicopter service. and to get you guys back and forth.
That would be very much appreciated this time of year.
Well, you guys have helicopters.
Especially when schools are in session.
Yeah, well, of course. And you have helicopters right there by the flight school. Why not? Why have you ever thought about it? You guys could land right here in the backyard. You'd have to maneuver around the tree here at the studio complex.
We'd have more than just a tree to maneuver around back here.
You think so?
Yeah.
It's all of 20 by 20. What do you, the footprint of one of these small helicopters can't be that much. If they can land on a glacier, surely they can land on, our broadcast facility here.
And our glaciers are much bigger than your home.
Yeah. Okay. If you say so. Yeah, it just sounds like he doesn't trust their piloting.
Right.
He doesn't trust their piloting skills, Tom. That's what it sounds like to me. I'm sure if we talked to those guys, they'd be up for the challenge. Maybe.
But the glacier is mobile. Is your home mobile? As a mobile home?
Mine is.
If you try to land a helicopter on, I think it's going to move. I'm just saying. It's not that big of a structure. All right. Anyway, we'll get back on track. Even Ed walked in. So we got a full crew here at Just Plain Radio. Just getting started. We'll be back right after this.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
$6 in my right nut says we're not landing in Chicago.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. They have entered the studio broadcast complex and rounded out our crew. But we also have Tom Haynes from AOPA as well. So, despite them showing up late, I was not flying solo. So, you're in safe hands, and now that we have two more flight instructors with us, we should be able to, get back to the home port safely and soundly. After our virtual cruise through the wild blue yonder. How about that, guys? Like it? No? Yes?
Sure. Very creative.
They'll just go with it.
He's just babbling about stuff.
They're just rolling there. Hey, I'm going to Alaska and you're not, so you can suck it. All right? So let's talk about some aviation stuff. Big news in the world of pilots this week because We get some new rebate program that's taken effect. Is that right, Tom? We're getting a lot of questions at AOPA about this as well, I assume?
Yeah, we just recently announced, you know, we've been talking about it for a while, but it's actually going into effect on September 19th, is the FAA is going to be providing rebates of $500 to pilots who install ADS-B equipment in their airplanes, and it's available to the next 20,000 folks who sign up and install the systems. So the FAA is obviously trying to drive people to use this equipment because it's sort of the next generation surveillance system designed to ultimately replace radar. And so they really want people to install it. So they went to Congress and got the approval to offer this $10 million or 500 times 20,000 and get people to install the equipment. So it's the website's going to go live on Monday or on September 19th.
Okay, on the 19th, it's going live. So you get in there, and if you're one of the first 20,000 people to do so that have already installed it or can get a coupon towards the future of putting it in or what?
Yeah, it's for future installs. Okay. Those of us who actually made the investment, like for my case, more than 3 years ago.
Say, didn't you already do that?
No!
Yeah, so, you know, it's like bad timing on my part. Mm. Yep.
Okay.
It's not retroactive, unfortunately. We'll see. Obviously, a lot of people complained about that. It's like, wait a minute, you know, I went ahead and invested early, and now you're telling me that I'm being penalized for that. I can't get the $500. However, I have had the benefit of in-cockpit traffic and weather for the last 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And so that's been valuable to me, so that's worth something.
Okay.
But we'll $500
would be nice.
So yeah, I wouldn't turn that down.
I'd upgrade our Skycatchers right now for $500, but they don't have a solution for it yet.
Yeah, because of the LSAs and the equipment now.
Mm. So you can't do it even if you wanted to?
Yeah, right now, because Cessna has not come up with an option for it yet.
Mm. Well, that
yeah, so is it blows. Cessna or is it Garmin? Because lots of times you get avionics manufacturers and rear framers pointing fingers at each other about whose responsibility is it.
Yeah, I think
that's the big question. So the answer is yes.
Well, you know, actually Cessna's accepted responsibility for it, and they've even told us that they're working on a solution.
Yeah.
But I've been told that now for a year and a half. And
that's because they're going back and forth saying Garmin's responsible and Garmin saying Cessna's responsible.
Probably.
Okay. So you got to call and complain to both companies. Is that it?
Well, I've complained to both companies, and it doesn't seem to go anywhere because, as we all know, that airplane has no future.
Hmm.
As someone famously once said.
Yes. We've heard this before, which is a shame. But now that they know there's $500 on the line, maybe you can say, hey, you guys are costing me money!
Yeah, and he would also say he doesn't care.
Okay. $500 is not a big deal to them.
No.
But it is to us, or anybody who needs to get this put in their airplane, they ought to take advantage of it. I mean, what's the cheapest ADS-B system out there right now? Do you know about what they're running, Tom?
You know, the cheapest ones are let's call it $1,900. You might get a little bit cheaper than that from time to time if they put them on special, show special, something like that. But around $1,900. And then there's the install, which can vary a lot depending on the complexity of and what other equipment you have in the airplane already. And what path you choose, because there are a number of paths available depending on what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but let's call it another, you know, 15 hours of install time or something like that or more. And so you could add another $1,000 or even $1,500 in install to the install time to that or cost to that.
All right.
But
so
you
about
know,
$3,000 thereabouts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be the starting point.
Okay.
Yeah, and it could be more.
Knock $500 off of that. Yep. Yeah. And how are they giving
a sizable chunk of that?
Well, yeah. How are they giving that rebate? Are they saying here's a $500 check or what?
Yeah, don't you wish? It's a little complicated. You got to go onto this FAA website and basically put in all of your aircraft registration information. And basically, at that point, you're applying for the rebate. And then you have, I think it's 90 days to get the install complete. And then you have another 60 days after that to basically go for a flight and have the FAA validate that the installation is properly done and properly calibrated. In other words, that you're putting out and broadcasting the correct and accurate information.
Mm-hmm.
And when all that happens, then you go back to the site and it will, and then, you know, complete the form, and then they'll send you a check.
Well, that sounds like a big headache. Sounds like you got to work for that $500 to me.
Well, then there's some confusion, too, about, you know, 90 days. Well, a lot of avionics shops are booked more than 90 days.
Right, exactly.
So and the system won't allow you to book any more than 90 days out. So you've got to kind of go in and try to work the system, maybe coordinate with your avionics shop a little bit and get a date for, you know, as soon as you can get one. But let's say it's 3.5 months. So then you've got to wait a couple of weeks before you can go on and be within that 90-day window. And everything will be fine now, but when we get down toward the end of this and we're starting to get up to that, you know, that 20,000.
Yeah.
And actually, I think there's a one-year cap on this thing, too, that if it's 20,000 in a year, which I don't even know that this industry can install 20,000 in a year. But
yeah.
I think at the end of the year, the FAA has the right to maybe go back and extend it, and we'll see whether they do or not.
Right.
But basically, some people toward the end of that may be worried that if I don't get it done soon enough, I'm not going to get the $500.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you only let me schedule 90 days out. So I would say, you know, early would be the time to get in on this thing, starting September 19th.
Well, if you're a betting man, and I assume you are, what do you think? Is this going to work? Is it going to juice the numbers, you think?
Oh, I think it will. I think it will. I mean, there are a bunch of people that have been on the sidelines for quite a while and been just waiting, you know, trying to wait for the technology to settle down. And it's mostly settled down. The price points have settled down. And been lots of rumor, I mean, that this was going to happen. And so it's finally here. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll drive installations. But I still think there's going to be, at the end of 2019, when everybody is supposed to be equipped, at least anybody who flies in airspace where you need a transponder today, I think there's going to be a lot of people that make the decision that they're just simply not going to install, period, because they are in airspace that's not required. They may have a transponder now because it was already in the airplane when they bought it, that sort of thing. But if they had to do it all over again, maybe they wouldn't even bother installing a transponder.
Well, so it's all those Alaskan pilots that you were referring to earlier. I have a feeling it's not high on
their list. Transponder required airspace up there.
Yeah, maybe. All right, we got more coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals, FTPros.com, the website to go to and learn how to fly with them as your flight instructors. We also have Tom Haynes from AOPA with us right now. Now, Tom is actually coming to us from where? Battle Creek, Michigan. Well, that's where the fly-in is this weekend.
Yeah, you bet. One of our regional fly-ins, huh?
Sweet. So you're doing your thing there, and obviously it might be a little bit late if you're hearing about that right now to join them today. However, 2 weeks from today, you're going to be where? October 1st?
We are in Prescott, Arizona. If you're from Prescott, it's Prescott. If you're not from Prescott, it's Prescott.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, now I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So you want to play tourist, Prescott, Arizona. That's where you want to be October 1st. What are you guys doing? Anything different? Are all these pretty much now just so finely tuned, like well-oiled machines, that you have a program for each time, and they're not much different from your perspective going to each one, or what?
Well, we like to think there's some local variety, local flavor. This one in particular, we have a pretty big midday air show act, or actually multiple air shows. We've had some aerobatic demonstrations, like we got one scheduled today with Matt Chapman. But usually we only have like one act. We've had Michael Goulian and some others perform it at our events, but in Prescott, we're going to have multiple acts because it's actually part of Embry-Riddle has a campus there in Prescott, and it's their homecoming weekend, and so they are having multiple air show acts. They're sponsoring that, cool. So that'll be a lot of fun.
It's their homecoming. Are they having like a dance and everything too?
I don't know. It's their alumni weekend. I think as opposed to homecoming.
Yeah,
figured. They'll have a bunch of folks there.
Yeah.
But, we got that, and then usual seminars, exhibits, and static display airplanes, and Pilot Town Hall with Mark Baker, our AOPA president, who will be talking about all the issues facing general aviation and things going on in the industry, and the famous ice cream social at the end of the day, which is the thing that everybody hangs out for.
Excellent.
Amazing. You give somebody an ice cream cone, what they'll do.
Of course. AOPA.org/flyins, I believe, or if you just go to AOPA.org, you can find the link for it for sure. All right, we got more coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Actually, we're going to take off soon, so we're going to need you to turn off your phone.
I'm actually not done talking, and two more.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. And also from AOPA, we have Tom Haynes to help us out. Now, look, you know, things have actually cooled off a little bit here in our home base of operations of Orlando, Florida. You think it's a sign of fall has finally arrived, guys? Or is this just a fluke? Are we being teased?
I think it's arriving. I'm not sure it's arrived yet.
Yes.
And I think it's on the way.
It's on the way.
When you get to Alaska, you'll know what time of year is. When we left up there at the end, last day of August last year, it was snowing.
Uh-oh.
So good luck up there in September.
Yeah. I'm looking at the weather forecast. It's supposed to be in the 50s during the day. Mm. But okay. It's only in the 40s at night, so it's not like dipping down to like 20s or nothing. So I'm like, okay, it's jacket weather, but then wait a minute, I forget I'm from Florida. So 50 to me, it would be like 20 for
20
the,
for everybody else.
Yeah.
You're going to want your parka with you.
I'm going to need a parka?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when you get out there by the glaciers.
Mm-hmm. Just so
you'll definitely want that.
I want to look the part.
Be a lot of wind there.
You're going to be standing on a big ice cube.
No, that's you're right. just standing on the ship, you know, when you get into, are you going to Glacier Bay? Is that where you're heading?
Yeah, we're going all over the place. But I'm going to be in a helicopter, too. They'll have heat in the helicopter, won't they?
They don't have heat in Alaska.
No, in the helicopter. Come on, don't tease me.
It's really
like
windy
that.
In the helicopter.
I don't got a parka. I just got jackets. We live in Florida, guys.
It's kind of like Cuba. They don't have toilet seats. Alaska doesn't have heat.
And they don't have toilet seats either. They just cut a hole in the ice, which, God help your butkus. Anyway, let's move on. This seasonal changes affect flying as well. And, the days get shorter, so we have less daylight to work with, and that affects you how, Ed?
Well, I mean, it shortens up the availability of time that we can sell the customer in the airplane and with the instructor.
Mm-hmm.
So it causes a schedule shift, and so we can't fly into the evenings as long. And then, of course, it does make it easier for night lessons.
Right.
You know, in the middle of the summer when you got to do that night cross-country for the private, and it's not legally night till almost 9 o'clock, you're getting back at 11:30, it makes for a long day.
Mm-hmm.
But also, rental customers as well, we have to make sure they're ready to do a little bit more night flying. So we offer some night lessons here and there, saying, hey, come out and get yourself night current and try to keep up with it that way.
Yeah. Do they get a special seasonal discount because you have more night hours to work with or no?
No, not really a seasonal discount.
You just give them more flexibility on time.
Yeah. That they don't have to, if they're out on a trip on Saturday and it's 5 o'clock's rolling around and they want to stay out a little later, then they have their night currency, then they can.
Right. What about you, Tom? Do you take advantage of the shorter daylight hours to work on your night flying, or do you care about that?
I always try to make sure that, I go out and get night current because you never know when, some trip's going to come up and you got passengers with you and you're coming back in and all of a sudden you realize, whoops, by the time we land, it's going to be dark.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the 3-night landings to a full stop in the last 90 days, you're technically not current. So you want to make sure you do that and then you're good to go for a while.
Right. Now you got to do that with daylight and night Night flights.
Well, if you did night landings, you can keep your day currency. So night landings count for day, but day
they
don't
can double
count for
up.
Night. Yeah.
Understood. Okay. So it's good to do that.
Yeah.
Might as well take advantage of it.
I got a couple customers that are religious about it. We actually have a 60-day rule in our business.
Yeah.
And we have customers that religiously come out and do 3-night takeoffs and landings every 60 days. That keeps them both day current and night current, and they never have to worry about it.
Do you have any, vampire pilots that only fly at night?
We've had a few that were kind of like that, that they only seem to want to fly at night.
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
I had one guy a few years back that, wanted to do all of his private pilot training at night, and I'm like, well, yeah, there's nothing to say we can't.
Yeah. So. What did you say? What are you, a freak? Freaks come out at night, or... it's a Halloween kind of thing. All the Halloween stores are open now. That's why I bring it up. I mean, I wonder if do you get any of those kind of, it's time for Dracula to come out and get his proficiency up to snuff.
When he flies on full moon, right?
And he doesn't carry passengers, so he doesn't need to worry about currency.
Well, back in the day, but maybe now, he might need a, a quick pick-me-up, a snack.
He's going to go through the drive-thru and pick up a snack.
Yeah. Hey, you want to fly through? Sure. Yeah.
We digress.
But
was this show about airplanes?
Well, yeah. I'm just saying. I'm sure you get some colorful people that want to fly or rent a plane every now and then. You get closer into those.
We're not racist.
What?
Oh.
What does that have to do?
You said we get some colorful people. Yeah, we do. But we're not racist. We let everybody fly.
If you fly at night, that doesn't mean you're a race. That doesn't mean anything like that. Oh, jeez.
Danger, Will.
Exactly. Robinson. What is wrong with you, Keith? My God. So
hey, you said it, not me. I'm just trying to clarify here for everybody.
Yes. All right.
Some of us thought it. We just didn't bother to bring it up.
Yeah, all I was talking about is some kind of, do you get interesting characters that come out on a full moon or at night that it might be a little bit differently? I mean, they say like on a full moon, the emergency rooms are filled up. They have so much more activity like that. I wonder if it applies to pilots at all. Have you ever seen any kind of trend in long?
Have you ever seen Ed on a full moon at night?
No, I would avoid him at all costs.
See, there you go.
He'd sprout fur and start howling or something is my guess.
Oh.
So the answer is no.
No, I don't notice any difference. They're strange every day.
Okay. No, in the air. Do they do, like, scuba divers, we have underwater pumpkin carving contests. Have they ever done a pilot thing where they, had a bunch of pilots take off with a pumpkin and you got to, clean your pumpkin in the sky and best thing? They've never done any contests like
that?
Can
you imagine how dirty the airplane would be?
That'd be horrible.
Well, you just take the guts and chuck it out the window.
You can't do that.
Oh, you could.
Now,
you can.
I could see a pumpkin dropping.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I can see that.
See?
That might be a good fall festival.
Well, that's
idea.
What I'm saying. I mean, there's something that you ought to do.
Who's going to clean up the runway afterward?
That Greg. Would be Ed or Keith.
No, Greg. It was his idea.
Notice how he right away pushes it off on us.
Of course.
I beat him to the punch.
Well, okay.
Somebody's going to miss the runway and drop it in the terminal and it'll go through the roof or something. I could see that happen.
Well, that would be fun.
That would be, be a negative.
You just got to get a proper insurance policy.
Well, we have a flower drop every year.
Was a Showalter thing. Yeah. That's gone now.
You can't. They won't let you do that with the new management?
They're not as much fun.
What if you just say, hey, we would like to chuck pumpkin guts out our window? Flower, we understand the mess, but pumpkin guts, it's Halloween. It's kind of a seasonal thing. They might go for it.
Maybe next fall we'd have some pumpkins in the middle of
the runway or
the taxiway.
There you go.
I say, the ramp. You get
a
group.
Let's not stop there. Let's go with a watermelon.
Well, you could do that. You guys are turning this into a potential liability. I'm saying you send them up.
Pumpkins
with a pumpkin.
Wouldn't be.
No, you send them up in an airplane and you send them up with a pumpkin and a pumpkin carver, and they have. The flight, a 30-minute flight to
so
carve the
turbulence,
best pumpkin.
We're going to have them working with a sharp object.
Exactly.
Yeah, there is. I think there is a let's play risk management here. How does that fall into the paycheck checklist?
This is the way it's going to work.
Yeah,
I'll fly the airplane. Mm-hmm. You're going to sit in the back seat carving a pumpkin.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. You have a carver and a pilot. That's what you do.
It reminds me of the Saturday Night Live episode with the Moya in the back of the Cadillac.
I don't know how that ended, but I have a feeling it ended poorly. But yeah, you know, you could do this. Yeah, we could create a stunt and have a fun thing, and everybody would have fun with that. But it would be kind of fun trying to carve a pumpkin in turbulence. You're right, because all the pumpkin faces potentially would look terrible. And that would tell you, you know, the quality of their ride and piloting skills.
Yeah.
And reflect back on the pilot. And then you don't have to worry about dropping stuff on people, unless you want to chuck the guts out, which that would just be fun for the pumpkin chucker.
I don't know. I think it would be fun to just keep those, and I would take them up with me and show them to Ed.
Yeah. Keep what? What are you talking about?
The pumpkin guts.
Oh, I just
No, that won't get me. It's got to be previously digested. Then that'll get me.
That pretty much looks like it.
It does.
But it doesn't smell like it. It's not the look, it's the smell.
If I leave it for a day, it will.
I see. Okay. So you're a flight instructor and that bothers you?
I am a firm believer, Tom, that when somebody gets airsick in my airplane, it's not a spectator sport. I feel I need to participate.
Okay.
Well,
I never have, but it, you know, it's that smell, and it's like, ooh, let's land.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing quite like that.
Well, rotten pumpkin flesh. Doesn't just saying.
I don't know, that's pretty close.
Yeah, just saying it kind of, you know, makes you throw up a little in your mouth, doesn't it, Ed?
No, not really.
No, you got to have the smell, the look, the whole thing.
Yeah, I got to have the
All right, hold thing. On. During the break, let me see if I can pull something up here. Surely we got something that looks disgusting. Keith, drop your drawers.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Lionfish are cool to see, but stings are painful and on the rise as their numbers increase. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you what to do if a lionfish stings you.
Scuba Radio. This scuba tip is brought to you by Dan, Divers Alert Network. Dan helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the Dan Hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join Dan today by going to dan.org. Dan, your dive safety association.
Lionfish possess spines that transport venom into puncture wounds. The injuries can be extraordinarily painful. Soaking the wound in non-scalding hot water to tolerance will likely relieve the pain from a lionfish sting. Of course, if the injured person appears intoxicated or is weak, vomiting, short of breath, or unconscious, seek immediate advanced medical care. Dive into Dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Watch the sky.
I like curvy spikes with pain, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane. Let's fight with pain.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are your crew navigating the latest aviation news and information. Also from AOPA, we have Tom Haynes. We've gotten back on track slightly. We took a diversion.
Yeah, we got a little too far into pumpkin guts.
I don't know.
Talk about a 90-degree turn.
Anyhow, Keith is, you know, sometimes he just takes a show and the weirdest places.
Yeah, Keith does that. Yeah, right.
That's what I'm going to say. All right, let's talk about some other things.
That's why you guys had me here.
The seasonal change, we talked about the limiting of daylight. It's days are getting shorter. But that also brings up the winds, at least in our area.
It does up north as well, that your winter winds are going to be stronger than your summer winds. But in the summer, we're used to having 3 knots and calm. And the only time we get any real wind is when there's a thunderstorm, which nobody's going to be flying there.
No.
So we have a big effort going starting in about early October. We start sending messages out. Have you done crosswind landings lately? How are your crosswinds are going? Winter winds are coming, and we'll go from having 3 to 5 knot winds on any given day to 15 knot winds. And even though that's not that strong, and compared to somebody that grew up in Illinois, 15 knot winds, that's nothing. I came out of Wichita a few years ago and had to get airborne before the winds went over the sky catcher's limit. That they said no more than 22 knots any direction. That's a winter wind down here that we have to get people refreshed on. Because if you haven't made a crosswind landing in a real crosswind in 3 to 6 months, you're probably going to need to go up with an instructor and just make sure that
you're comfortable with
22 knot crosswind.
Yeah,
that would be over the airplane's limits.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, if we had a 20 knot wind out of the east on runway 7, mm-hmm. it's going to be a pretty significant crosswind compared to having a 5 knot wind out of the east on runway 7.
Understood. Okay. Yeah. So you just brush up on your skills. This is the time to do that. You know, maybe even do some simulator time if you can.
That won't help unless we had that Redbird crosswind trainer, mm-hmm. which we don't have. It's better to get into a real wind situation and go up and practice it with a good wind. So it's one of those things. When a windy day comes along, we start calling people up saying, "Hey, do you want to get some crosswind landings in?"
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Yep.
We'll even go to a different airport that we know has got a crosswind to a stronger crosswind to get the practice in.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Speaking of different, going to a different runway or different airport, though, it's a good reminder that sometimes people find themselves, maybe they aren't as practiced in crosswind landings, and they find themselves thinking that they have to land at this airport that mm-hmm. is their destination, but there's a really strong crosswind and they're really having trouble controlling the airplane. Well, guess what? You don't have to land at that airport. You can go to another and then figure it out on the ground. Somebody will come pick you up.
Well, there was a situation back in Illinois that was like that. I came in for a landing in strong crosswind, icy, snowy covered runway, and airplane weather vaned on the runway into the wind, and then I got to a dry spot, but because I had put all my control corrections in correctly, aileron into the wind, rudder opposite,
mm-hmm.
I got to the dry spot, I straightened out and was able to slow down, turn around, taxi off. So another person was coming in after me. I've already gotten back in the building. I called him up on the Unicom and warned him. There was a real strong crosswind. The runway was really icy and suggested, Willard Airport was, down to the south and the wind was right down their runway.
Mm-hmm.
And that person decided to not take my advice and they landed and totaled their airplane.
Mm-hmm.
They fortunately weren't hurt, but, you're absolutely correct, Tom. That's the other thing is, we get so focused on we got to go here because that's where we're based, and I'll tell you as a flight school operator that we have no problem with you not bringing the airplane back as long as when you do get it back, it's in one piece and it's ready to be used again.
Right.
We will figure out the next person on the schedule. Just go somewhere else, land, and call us, and we'll take care of the rest.
That's what Uber's for. Right,
exactly. That's one of the reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So you're good, but that's something very important to be aware of, especially as we get into the windy season.
Yep.
Something to think about. Now, Tom, I know you guys have been covering some other stuff there at AOPA Live. One of your correspondents is working with this or testing the Swift fuel, the alternative to Avgas. Is that right? Or what?
Yeah, one of the alternatives is this Swift has this fuel called 94UL, which is an unleaded fuel. It's basically Avgas, as we know it today, without the lead component. So mm-hmm. when you take out the lead component, you end up with an octane of 94. And for a lot of lower compression engines, that can work just fine. And Swift has been producing this for a while. They're trying to build a network of FBOs. And one of our fellow guys who owns an experimental airplane with a Lycoming engine in it got some of this fuel. And a couple weeks ago, down at the fly-in in South Carolina at Tripletree, and flew home with it. And it was kind of an interesting experiment to see the reaction. You know, what he noticed was that as I recall, the EGTs were a little bit higher and the CHTs were a little bit lower. And but the airplane ran just great. And mm-hmm. and so it costs, you know, maybe a little bit less than avgas in most locations. So it could be an interesting alternative, particularly at airports that don't have a lot of airplanes with high compression engines running in and out of there.
We spent some time at Sun and Fun talking to the people at Swift Fuel exactly about this, looking at you know, maybe an eventual replacement to our Skycatchers, and we've been looking kind of at the RV12, which has the Rotax engine, and mm-hmm. talking to the people at Vans. They hooked us up with a person that runs a flight school up in Virginia, and she was telling us about the Swift Fuel and how it has improved the maintenance on the airplane. If you run 100 octane in it or 100 low lead in it, you have to change the spark plugs change the oil every 25 hours, and you maybe get 100 hours out of spark plugs. But with the Swift Fuel, you can go 100 hours between oil changes to the condition inspections, and some of the people down at Lockwood have been getting like 600 hours out of spark plugs.
Well, hey, that sounds like a good sign of things to come. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.